Shad Cowdery, Yorling, Chairman Furness. We have three pieces of legislation to consider. Could you gentlemen just hold in place? It's going to take just about 2 seconds to close them together, too. Let's give consideration first to House Bill 8. House Resolution Number 8, encouraging the identification of employment opportunities for students. I will note that there are some 38 sponsors on this bill, all of which are on labor and commerce.
All of labor and commerce are on it.
Yes. What is the pleasure of the committee at this time concerning this resolution?
I move an action item of consent that we remove the House Resolution Number 8 out with individual recommendations and action item of consent.
Without objection?
No.
So be it. The next piece of legislation is House Bill Number 116, an act related to financial institution examination fees and assessments. Okay. And provided for an effective date. Mr. Patrick, maybe we still want to chair. In fact, just sit there. Reverend Copeland, he probably won't make it at this point. Do you have testimony on this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Willis Kirkpatrick, Director of Banking Securities Incorporated in the State of Alaska. I recommend that House Bill 116 be considered and passed out of committee for consideration. 116 does nothing more than raise the limit.
Go ahead, sit there. Representative Winch is not here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're just back on the right.
It raises the limit that we can charge financial institutions and those that we regulate from 7,500 to 12,000. This is the limit that's on the books now was put on there, I believe, in 1978. And since then, our average cost of the bank examinations, for example, are approaching the limit that we have now. And what we're doing is just trying to raise the level at which we can charge. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions specifically on that.
I doubt there are any questions. Fairly straightforward. What is the pleasure of the committee? Would you reach that?
I would move and ask unanimous consent that we pass out HB 116.
Any objection? If not, so be it. Thank you, sir. Representative Copeland, prior to you coming in, let the record show that Representative Copeland is here. We had passed out the House Resolution Number 8, it's, encouraging the identification and employment opportunities for students. There was considerable debate on this. A couple of members did not particularly like it.
That's a deep.
The chair did prevail in those instances, however. The next legislation for consideration is House Bill 280, an act related to payment of prevailing wages and the payment of overtime on the public construction contracts. This was a bill by the introduced by at the request of the governor. We have Commissioner of Labor, Commissioner Robinson, with us for testimony and consideration of this bill. Sir, for the record, if you identify yourself.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Jim Robinson, Commissioner of Labor. And for this bill, and I brought Don Wilson with me this morning so that he's worked with the system and could probably tell you more of what the problems were as he found them. But what this does is it spells out the overtime after 8 hours and over 40 hours in Title 36. It also gives the department the authority to collect the wages for other employees if a violation is found. And it also, under the existing statutes as we have now, the violation is a misdemeanor, and the fine is from $100 to $1,000. and relating this to a workman's compensation type of a situation, we had the same penalty, $100 penalty on some posting requirements. We found that there was about a 40% compliance, and when we raised the penalty so that it would get up to $2,500, we now have 98% compliance instead of the 40. So I think you can see the correlation there. Then another provision provides that that all public contracts will be covered by Title 36, even though an agency fails to put that in the contract. And it also addresses a problem that we can bar an employer from bidding on a public work contract in the future if we find that he's in violation. And that's all I'd have to say, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, other questions to Commissioner Wilson Cowdery?
Yes, Mr. Would this, you know, establishing rates on workman's comp, overtime is up to certain limits that are not considered, you know, I mean, there's a limit for hour, I mean, when I'm in, you know, your rates are based on the hours and that are worked.
Mm-hmm.
Overtime has a bearing on these rates. Would this have any bearing on how them rates are established in the on the workman's comp?
Not at all.
None.
No.
If we go to section 2 of the bill, and I'm just going back here to the letter from the governor dated March 18, 1983. Says Section 2 of the bill allows the Department of Labor to accept assignment of wage claims under the chapter and to pursue claims on behalf of a class of employees, whether or not a wage assignment has been filed. Maybe you can explain why, in effect, the Department of Labor would want to take that kind of an action when considering that the employee has not asked for a wage assignment.
I've asked that maybe Don Wilson would respond.
My name is Don Wilson. I'm Deputy Director of Labor Standards and Safety Division for the Department. Probably the best thing to do, Representative Ewing, is maybe just give you a little history on this. When the Little Davis-Bacon Act became law in the state, our founding fathers, as it were, modeled it just almost word for word after the federal act. The court in Sitka advised us of that. But they were so good in what they did, they failed to look at the whole picture, and they didn't take into consideration all the other federal law that is tied to the federal Davis-Bacon Act. Consequently, we ended up with an act that was very narrow and was kind of a shell because they didn't take into consideration the Work Week Act, the Safety Act, the 8-Hour Act, all the federal legislation that ties into all government contracting type work and that establishes the standards for worker protection. The department's had considerable problem over the years trying to represent these people and ensure that the public money is used for the purpose it was intended to build and to pay the people and buy the material. And as the bill currently sits, the only authority that the department has in relationship to Title 36 is to establish the rate of pay, determine who is covered, and stop an illegal act. But we cannot represent the actual aggrieved employee in any class. He must or she must represent herself using his or her money and merely bring suit against the sureties of the contractor. If the contracting agency has retained no funds, if the sureties have run their time, which is 1 year from completion of the contract, that employee or class of employees are totally out any wages they earned and might be due them, and the contractor can pretty well go his way with impunity. Essentially, what this bill does is give the department the same type of activity it currently has under Title 23, the Alaska Wage and Hour Act, where we can go in and take an assignment for people, not only for the one aggrieved, but for all persons similarly situated.
Further question then. Well, the way I read this and just the letter before us here is that that you're able to be able to take it upon yourself to file a wage assignment even before before the employee themselves has come before you. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That facilitates a class action.
Of the county?
Yes, thank you. Would this have any impact on the maintenance or project now that the municipalities or boroughs conduct? Would they come under this?
This bill is not aimed at the political subdivision. It's aimed at the contractor. It's not going to impact or affect the municipalities or departments of state or anybody else that lets a contract. Oh, I see. You mean where it says the term does not include regular maintenance? All right. Again, let me go back and give you a little history on this. I'm sorry, I wasn't aware, sir, for much time. But one of the big problems that has come about in the last couple of years is trying to distinguish between what is maintenance and what is construction. For instance, is plowing snow off the street maintenance or construction? There is no way right now to define. The law in the definitions talks about construction. Someplace down the line, we're going to have to be able to make that determination. We're trying to clarify within the law that there is a difference between maintenance and construction and set up a system whereby the department can write a regulation to define and differentiate between these activities.
Let me perhaps pose a couple of questions. This bill really says a lot, and I think it addresses another bill that we will ultimately be hearing, and that has to do with the flexible work week. And this, I would assume that the statute at this point does not address specifically the 40-hour or that period of time over the 40-hour. And what we're proposing to do now is sort of close that window once and for all. Is that
true
for assessment? I guess then the real question comes in, as I understand, what is it, 50? Oh, we have 51 states now? 50 states.
50.
49 this morning. Yeah, it's been a long time. I've asked for a map, so I can count them. 49 states do have some, I guess, provisions to allow persons who work the split shift, the one owner, two offs, or the longer days or whatever, to work under a flexible work week, and I would assume that your recommendation is that's not a good thing for the state of Alaska.
That's right.
In turn, would support this piece of legislation.
That's true.
President Copeland, then I'll come back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, this covers also the payment wages, so it sets the wage scale, and there is a difference between long-term employment and maintenance and construction, which is seasonal. Is this what that intention there is? Not so much the overtime, but the actual wage rate.
I guess I don't.
What is the
I don't understand you.
Well, I mean, if I was employed, years ago I worked as an electrician, both in maintenance and construction.
Mm-hmm.
And the maintenance scale was typically about $2 an hour less, but mm-hmm. it was regular.
You
work 40 hours a week year round. The other was summer work and a great deal of overtime. And the wages were higher, but it was highly seasonal. So essentially, by exempting
the maintenance
mm-hmm. you're allowing for the difference. Because
that's
I know right. The Matt Sue Burrow ran into this problem with plowing of ditches, which to me would be a regular maintenance kind of thing, and that yet they got docked because they weren't paying prevailing operating engineers' wages, which were construction wages.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, if I might, that's the reason that section is in there, because of the Matsubara. Mm-hmm.
Does that address the problem sufficiently, or do you think it's still going to be some?
I think that it probably addresses it.
What it's going to do is, now that we've got the term maintenance, it's going to allow the department to write regulations to define and differentiate between construction and maintenance. We've had our attorneys doing research for quite a period of time to try and go back and get language. We understand what maintenance is, we understand what construction is, and we realize the need to differentiate between the actual construction of the road or maybe simply leveling a surface where you're not putting in any fill or doing anything. Mm-hmm. And it's a gray area right now, and almost every summer when the work comes on, the department is simply inundated with questions from political subdivisions. The chief engineers want to know, okay, we've got half a million or something to go out here and work on a road with, and we don't know whether we're going to have to pay prevailing wages or not, because we don't know if it's construction, if it's maintenance, and then the department has to go out and go through a very long, involved process of looking at projects, where if we could simply sit down and go through and get a little history and find out and differentiate, we'd be able to get rid of a lot of this type of thing. People could look at the law, look at the regulations, and understand and make that decision.
Additional
questions? Yes. Right into the area that you're talking, we are in, I'm in construction business, and we have in the past, and we have kind of been somewhat of a problem, a nuisance, and we have been requested many times from the municipality to do similar things to what you're saying, especially in the spring during the breakup. They'll have people coming with complaints that their road is screwed up, they can't get in, and the culvert's washed out or whatever, mm-hmm. and they cannot keep up with the demand, so they'll say McClellan or one of the people from the municipality will phone up and say, go up in that subdivision and fix it. That's all they say, go fix it, and get them off their back, and we take a grader up there, and maybe it does need fill. Maybe it's washed out, and we've had that occasion. We had Glacier. I think Commissioner Robinson remembers the big problems in the Rabbit Creek area of glaciation, you know, and this and that. And so we went up there, and then maybe it was 4 hours' work, maybe it was 4 days' work. And sometimes you do it on a four-hour basis, and it disrupts your operation, and the idea of, it's not that we underpay or anything, but just the extra book work, prevailing wage and all of this, it becomes that it's not even worth it. And so even though it was in a sense construction, I don't think it could become under the term of an emergency, but people were still, they were just, they are complaining about it, you know, strongly. And so I think that this discouraged many of us contractors from getting involved with that problem, because it was a hassle of paperwork, and we had to go this and the bookkeeping and all this. So I think that this is a real concern, and like I said, maybe possibly during them time, we're generally fairly busy in a day, so you get to a situation where we might go out on a project at noon of the municipalities and work till 8 o'clock that night, we had 4 hours of overtime involved because it was after 4:30, because our employee maybe started at 7 o'clock that morning or 6 o'clock that morning at other projects. So it's really a gray area, as you say, and I think that we should set a limit maybe in the amount of days it took for it, or I don't know how we're going to address it. You know, these incidental ones I don't think is
Mr. Chairman, if I might, under the existing law right now, that would be classed as construction, no doubt about it. But if you pass this one, then we could get that into a maintenance type situation, which it is a maintenance type situation. I mean, you got an existing road, something just went wrong with it, so that you need to maintain it so that the people can get out. And,
yeah, we have the same thing in snow plowing too. They get really buried, and we got a couple of graders, and they come to us and, hey, we need this, we got it, we can't, you know, make two or three, and it becomes quite a hassle.
Yeah, that should be maintenance and not construction.
One of the other problems that surfaced in the Mississippi Borough that we hope that this will alleviate future, quite often the borough will get some, political subdivision will get some money to do this work. They view it as maintenance. They let it out to some contractor thinking they're going to facilitate and get this thing done easily. Then they find out that they may be getting into an area of construction, and if they would have known that, they would have simply let their own borough road crews do the work or whatever and such, and the whole thing will facilitate and allow us to explain adequately in regulation so people can pick it up and read it. It's not going to solve every situation. Some will have to be looked at from time to time, but by and large, it should cut down a lot of the problems in letting people just simply understand which is going on.
Yes, I think we had problems that were grants and stuff where funds were funneled into nonprofit organizations in different political subdivisions, Lions clubs, and one thing or another, and then they lost control of what, how them funds, maybe they, there was no fraud in involved, and the funds actually went to certain projects, but it sure skirted and limited the ability of competition in a lot of areas, fair competition to these jobs, and I think that was a real problem should be addressed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Parts of this bill seem to be dealing with issues that we're dealing with in other areas. We're discussing prevailing wage, which is pretty much the drift of that Davis Bacon Act the other night. It wasn't too far off base. And then it also deals a little bit with paying wages and overtime. We'll get another bill floating out here someplace that.
Don't even mention the number, please.
Deals with
the table will jump up.
How do they. This is the administration bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at this in comparison to some of these other, what other legislations floating around this organization right now?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Try to put a few of them together somehow and address all at one time.
We're hopeful that you'll pass out 280 and bury the others.
Is that to say that this conflicts with the others?
No, that's not that. That may be a little bit flippant, but I would hope that you just take them one at a time and maybe pass them out on whatever the merits of those are. This bill, we've run into these types of problems and we've addressed them in this one, and hopefully you'll take care of this one, and then we'll go to some of the other ones, and if the merits of those bills is there, then we'll take that up.
Well, also, I'm just not sure at this point if both bills are totally conflicting or somewhat overlap or they agree a lot, or if you guys have done any comparison of different pieces of legislation and they're going to do different sections of this.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, if you're talking to say 172, some of those repeaters, then we wouldn't need this one because Title 36 would be gone anyhow. You know, if you repeal the act, then of course this is a moot point.
Okay, I want to solidify this in my thinking here, exactly what we're doing in this bill. Now, basically right now, I understand on construction projects, with the 40 hours is the regular time, anything over 40 hours is time and a half. Is that correct? That's in law? Is that in statute, or is that in regulation now?
That's in Title 23 in statute.
Okay. So what will this do that we don't have in law right now? Will this do to clarify the law, and what type of extra powers are being put into this bill versus what we have in law right now?
Well, I think that just clarifies that Title 36 has the same force and effect as Title 23. It doesn't specifically spell it out in Title 36. It does in 23, and if you would spell it out in this one, then both of them is the same.
Why doesn't it spell it out in Title 23?
It does.
It does. What about Title 36?
It does not.
The question is why does it?
If I can answer the question, I represent you. Again, even the federal Davis-Bacon Act does not set an overtime standard. The overtime standard in the federal act is set by other laws, the safety law, the work week law, the 8-hour law, things like this. We don't have these. So when our founding fathers wrote this act, they didn't consider this enabling legislation over here, and consequently, we came along with a bill or with an act that had no overtime provision whatsoever in it. We attempted to write a regulation a few years ago to try and include it and found out that we couldn't write a regulation because we had no authority in the statute to do that type of thing. It takes a legislative act to include that. And it was just an oversight. It goes all the way back to 1931 when this thing first came about. Somebody failed to consider the federal scheme that has the enabling legislation. Just like in the federal scheme, they don't have to worry about maintenance as opposed to construction, because in the federal scheme they have a Service Contracts Act that provides for maintenance activities, where we only have a Construction Act. And now we're trying to make the law whole and put it together and make it into a law. There's no provision law currently for overtime. We must rely on other laws.
Can you give me an example of what the problem has been in the past, lawsuits or other things with the Department of Labor and where you're in that direction?
The problem has been trying to relate one statute to another statute, whether or not the overtime provisions within Title 23 are enforceable within Title 36, because there's no overtime provision within Title 36. Yet there should be, because the intent was there. It was just an oversight on somebody's part a long time ago to take that into consideration. We find new things about it every day.
It's interesting how intent is different than a law.
That's like the letters of intent.
It carries no weight of the law. However, when they finally go back and try to interpret regulation, what is the real intent of it? It seems to deviate quite considerably from the original statute. That's why they should have it.
Let me go to Representative Cowdery, the Marine Staff, and President Coburn. Did you have a phone?
I just, we talked earlier about some other legislation that's going to be coming up here. I know you're very busy. Do you, and everything, you've got to try to make it in the schedule back to testify on this other problems?
Are you talking of 304 or 172?
The legislation we have coming up possibly in the next week or two.
You bet.
You're going to work it into your schedule then, try to be here.
Mr. Chairman, if you're not going to bury it, I'm going to be back.
President Greenstaff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this, we keep referring to laborers, mechanics, or field surveyors. How do you define laborers, mechanics, field surveyors?
Well, Mr. Chairman, mechanics is actually all-encompassing with craftsmen. You'd say carpenters, operating engineers, teamsters. All of the different crafts would be under the term mechanic.
So all your crafts come under mechanics. Surveyors.
Milo, this is for sure here.
Now, what do we put under field surveyors? Just about anybody that's... Is that pretty much limited just to the actual actions of surveying?
I think related to construction.
On-site.
On-site for construction.
Mm-hmm. How about laborers? Or over from the laborers? Does that just come back to your traditional laborers union, or is that laborers taking in laborers and truck drivers and miscellaneous other jobs?
That would be more or less the unskilled part of it, but not taking into consideration whether you're union or non-union, that you wouldn't use that term.
Those kind of, yeah. Well, that's what I'm looking at. What's the broad definition that we're using here?
John, we got a response here.
Look, I'm looking for a response out of the commissioner.
Well, I would think that it would be the unskilled or the semi-skilled labor.
Thank you.
Additional questions to the commissioner? General, let's do this, and I think we do have that other piece of legislation. I sense here that you probably want to look at that in more detail before we do the final act on this. I want to try and schedule the other bill. We have a very heavy calendar. Do we have a calendar already set for next week? There's some priority pieces of legislation that I've tried to schedule in. And let's talk about the 17th before we can hear the other.
We'll get copies of it.
Sounds like when? About the 17th of the month, if not sooner.
It's 2-2-3.
That's
Are you talking about?
Yeah, I want you just sort of give you some idea what the schedule is going to look like for this next week, and we're fairly well committed on those.
The teleconference is Monday.
Yeah, we do have a teleconference Monday at 9 o'clock, Anchorage Fairbanks at Ketchikan on HB 344, having to do with the warranty on automobiles. Is there anything else coming for the meeting? Is there anyone else here to speak on this particular bill?
I'm not assessing. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good. Anything else coming before the committee at this time? If not, we stand adjourned. Nilo, you may...